Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wet Sox Snowskate Podcast. I'm Eric Frick here with Andrew Nelson, and in the studio, not via Skype, but here, live, is Bjorn RG. Bjorn, how you doing, bud?
So good. So good to be here.
Thanks for making it out. This is so cool.
Yeah, I flew out here just for this podcast.
Landed in the alley, and then yeah,
you guys got me from the airport swiftly.
Rolled out the red carpet through the snow.
It's have quite the budget. What is this, episode 2?
Yeah, we're rolling
already
hard.
Already doing it big.
Rolling hard. So thanks for making it out.
We're
here to talk about snow skating. I'm super excited to have you. First live podcast, yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Sorry you had to come out in all this slush and not experience any real snow. It's kind of a bummer, but
totally
what can
worth
you do?
It. Yeah. I mean, I lived here. I understand.
The struggle.
Yeah. It's still early, though, so... Right?
Yeah,
it's just
hopefully we'll get somewhere.
December, you will. It's Minnesota. Let's be real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Hopefully we can get rid of some of this slush and ice and get a good base on the ground and actually get some stacking done this year.
Yeah.
You guys got some tricks in mind?
Excited? I've got a lot of tricks.
Do you?
I do. Spot hunting. But yeah, this is super cool. Like, real snow skate history. I mean, we're going to cover it all. Everything from X Games to Yeti Jam. I'm trying to think, like, rattle off some quick hits here.
Juxtock,
Montana snow skating scene. I mean, who knew, really,
that I had a scene? It's single-handedly created by me. Yeah. Not to completely take credit, but...
Well, maybe we should start there. Maybe that's a good spot to sort of get in, is like...
How I got into it?
Yeah. What was your first snow skate ride?
All right. So it's like a combination. I got one for Christmas...
Like, what year?
In Montana. So, this would be like, it was the year before the wooden boards came out.
Okay.
So, I had, like, the NG3, the green plastic one with, like, the kind of squared off tails. And I was super into snowboarding. And I was also, like, really into building, like, ramps and rails and stuff. And so, I had built a whole bunch of these wild rails to snowboard on. But they didn't work because I used this plastic tubing.
Like PVC?
It's that, like, black stuff that comes in, like, a giant roll. It's, like, for cable.
Oh.
But what was cool about it is you could shape it into anything you wanted. And so, like, my friend and I made these rails. Like, we made a rainbow rail and a sea rail. Those were, like, our two first rails that we built out of just, like, scraps we found. And then we tried to snowboard on them, and it just didn't. Really, like, it didn't work.
Was it the edges just, like, catching and digging into them?
Because it's, like, plastic, so you couldn't... Right. And it also, the rails were, like, a little too small. So it was, like, that got, like, shelved. But I still had them, like, in my yard. And then one Christmas, I got a snow skate, and my friend and I... well, not on Christmas. That would be weird. We had... It was, like, the next day or something, like, in the snow. We rode, and we, like, made a little snow skate edit. Because we like, both skated, and so, like, we both could do some tricks, and we were like, whoa, this is crazy. It's really fun. And then it kind of, like, for me, so after that winter, I went to, not High Cascade, Wendell's, and they had a premier snow skate park there. And while I was there, I like, got really into it, and I was, like, really good at it. And my friend who was at the camp with me, we, like, entered one of the little contests that they had during it, and we won. This was in, and then, so this was in, like, 03. So it was the 04 boards that everybody always talks about.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first wooden ones, and we're like, oh my God, this actually works.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like game changer. Like, and we had taken all these pictures with those, like, the camera that you, like, roll. You know, the, like, you, like, click it, and then, like, you roll it back. Yeah, we took all
actual
these,
film.
Yeah, actual film, like, the little cardboard box cameras. We, like, took a bunch of pictures. My friend actually won the contest. It was, like, a game of skate or something, and he beat me, which was a big deal because I was way better than him, but he was good at being consistent.
Wait, so this was, like, a game of skate on the mountain itself?
Up
not
on
like
Mount Hood,
So not on flat ground or anything?
No, like hitting anything in the park. So, like, we were doing, like, ridiculous, like, rainbow rails, and, like, it was all ride-on stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, ride-on boxes. like, and Chip was the guy who was there.
Chip Dog
was there.
Oh, yeah.
And he like filmed a bunch of stuff of us. I don't know whatever ended up happening to that footage. Like it didn't, I always had hoped it was going to end up in one of the videos and it never did. But I went home with a VHS copy that I think Andrew has in his house of The Next Step.
Yep.
And then my friend went home with one of those wooden snow skates. And that next winter, like, I went crazy and I built so many rails and boxes, just like whatever my brain could come up with. Oh. I made like, I had like double rainbows. I made a full circle rail. Like, I just was like, anything I could come up with. I made so many rails and we had them all over my backyard.
Prior to Christmas, when you actually got a snow skate,
yeah,
had you seen like a snow skate? Was anyone like doing it? Because I mean, mountain is different because you kind of like have bilayer and single deck kind of coming to clarity at the same time. And was anyone like, I mean, what was like your influence before you actually got one?
I mostly just like, I snowboarded and I skated and we just like, I don't know, it just was like something to do. And my features were so small that they were dumb on a snowboard. So we just basically, like my friends and I just were like goofing around. And then the interesting thing was that winter, when we were on that one snow skate, we all were sharing the one wooden snow skate at that point. And we filmed some stuff. And then my buddy was like online and he was like, Bjorn, you're doing tricks that nobody else is doing. Cause I was ollieing onto my rails at that point. So like I was like ollieing into stuff. And that's when he actually initially like, he submitted my sponsor tape. He like submitted all this stuff. Cause I was just like, whatever. I didn't really care. I was just having fun with my friends.
Who is this?
Weston.
Oh.
I don't think you ever met him. He actually kind of works for me now, which is crazy.
Hmm.
Like full circle connect. He's like my audio tech on the podcast I produce. And then he does some photography for me now. But yeah, he was like my best friend. And we just like would skate every night and film these videos. And then we started submitting them. And like we submitted a bunch of photos. And they all ended up on the Premiere website. Like we weren't sponsored or anything. And then I kept sending tapes. Like I literally sent like VHSs to Premiere. Like I'd get some new footage and then I'd like put together an edit and send it to them. And then the Turn It Out came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got on the team I had gotten on the team. But I didn't have any footage in that video. But I was on the team at that point. They just like, it was weird. They didn't even really contact me. They just started sending me boards. They were just like, congratulations, you're on the team. That was like pretty much all it was.
So,
what's up?
Go ahead. I was going to say like you go from plastic to wood and then you're just going bananas. Did your snow skating change? I mean, you're obviously building new things, but are you like jumping down stairs or like?
It was all backyard, dude.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, I pretty much could have gotten sponsored just board sliding all of the wild rails that I had built.
That's so amazing. That's so cool.
We made this one rail. We called it the bird rail because it was it started off, it goes, like, straight, and then two rails kind of curved in the two opposite directions, and then there was, like, one kicker rail right in the middle because it kind of looked like someone was flipping you off. So we called it that. Like, it was just, like, anything I could come up with. Like in my head, I'd like think of it at school and then I'd go home and I would just build it. It was cool.
So cool.
But you were ollieing onto this at this point, which was an NBD back in 2004.
Exactly. And I was doing flip tricks that I had never seen. So like there was, I think one of them in like one of my sponsor me tapes is like, I rode onto the box, but I did like nollie varial heel, nollie inward heel. Mm. And I was doing like switch inward heel flip and like, I was doing some tricks that like we weren't seeing anyone else doing at the time.
Right.
And the ollieing into rails. I hit some handrails, but they were not that big, really. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, like 8 stairs and stuff. So mm-hmm. It was just like, bing.
It's so funny to think back because I'm remembering like on the Premiere website back in the day when you go to like team. If I'm remembering it right, I'm like, I think there were like 20 some people on the Premiere team, like even more than that. Isn't that like just a ton?
Yeah. And we were just sending them. I mean, like I was, so this is how I like really got sponsored is I started sending them like really good photos. And I was sending him the best content. Right. So, like, so many people were always so focused on, like, trying to do next level tricks. And I, after I sent in, like, a couple of really good photos, and I was, like, in Trans World twice.
Really?
For ads. Yeah, I was in a bunch of Premiere ads, like, doing, like, one I did, I hit this electrical box, and there was another one, I was, like, I don't know, I was, like, just frontboarding my S-Rail from my backyard, and, like, my friends and I just, like, took really good photos. I think one of them was, like, a photo that I, like, took and scanned and made digital, which is hilarious, with one of those click cameras.
Yeah.
But, like, I just was submitting such good content to them. And then it would be, I'm sure no one else, and I think that's kind of how Alan got into it, too, because he was submitting some good footage.
Mm-hmm. Here's sort of the uniting, were you on the threads? Were you on the forum?
I was totally on the forums. Oh, yeah. Well, it was mostly my friend, though. He was all in it. My friend Weston was all about that. I was kind of in it. I got into it later, like, in college. So then I went to Bozeman. And then that's when I started working with real photographers, like other friends of mine that were photographers. And, like, I was going to film school, so we were, like...
There was the forums, and then, if I'm remembering, I think on the Premiere website back then, there was, like, a photo of the week on, like, the front page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got on that a lot.
Yeah, I think that's where I first saw you.
Me and my friends dominated that. Like, my whole crew was on there, like, for all the time. And if you refreshed the homepage, there was, like, a picture... And it was always a submitted picture. Yeah. And at one point, it was all me and my friends.
So that's cool. So you're, like, you're running the plastic game. You're running the early wood game.
Yeah.
And then turn it out. Like, what did that mean to you? I know you were on the team, but you weren't in it.
I was bummed that I wasn't in it. Mm-hmm. And I was bummed because I was like, oh, man. Like, I've got footage of doing stuff that's, like, as good as this. Mm-hmm. And then that's also, that was the year that I got into welding. So then I started welding rails. And we started... joking around, they're like, geez, Bjorn, you could just let you have an entire park at my house. Why don't you, like, we joked around about having a snow skate contest. We kind of did one just one day, just jokingly, and, like, I gave one of my snow skates to, like, a friend. That was sort of the first Yeti Jam. And then, like, my stepdad took it and ran with it and was like, hey, we could really do this event. And, like, so this was in Whitefish, Montana.
Before we get into that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get one more question in. Yeah. Because this is, like, how much did park building influence your snow skating?
Because that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing for me. Too.
That's so funny.
I loved building the parks. I loved the whole, like, I still have this nostalgic feeling, like, whenever fall comes around, that was when I would just build, like, so many things.
Yeah, same. Like, that's what's going on.
Right, yeah.
All the time.
I that's still my favorite part of it, and that's what snow skating started as, and really, like, it escalated, and then, like, I did all the street stuff, but that's, I think, what got me, like, out of it was because that was never really what I wanted to do. I just wanted to build cool features that looked fun, and, like, having fun with my friends, like, late into the night, you know, like, in the wintertime. It was, like, after snowboarding, we would all go snow skate, like, which is amazing that we had that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. I think we had, like, a pack of ramen all day and then go back and, like, yeah, we would just, like, snow skate all night.
Yeah. And I mean, I think as far back as, like, even the first Premiere videos, they always have street parts, but I think now going forward, you don't really see a lot of home.
No,
you don't see a lot of parks anymore.
That DIY stuff. I was all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is really one of those things that kind of, like, because, like, I remember in those forums, there'd be, like, park building threads, and, like, everyone was just, like, posting what they can make and what, yeah. And, like, yeah, that was, to me, it always kind of went hand in hand that you don't really see anymore. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, because that's with the companies, they wanted you to do more of the street. Like, that's that skate influence. Mm-hmm. This kind of, we were sort of talking about this before, like what your approach to the sport is. And, like, for me, that's where it all started, with park building. And then we were like, well, we should do a contest because you have all these features. And then I had an actual budget. Before, I was just, like, spending my own money and just, like, raiding construction sites for, you know, like, where it's like, there's, like, the line, you're, like, in the scrap pile, you're like, that's kind of in the scrap pile, right? And pretty soon you're just loading plywood out of it. It's like, no, they're like cutting a strap. And
so
after, you're straight up stealing. That's
after Turnout, and you know, you're on Premiere, you're moving forward. What's like sort of your next steps? I mean, you're moving into street, you're getting clips and like putting together parts, or like,
yeah. So my friends and I always put together whole videos, like actual like full videos, because we're really into like shooting and editing, and we had all the footage, and it was really fun to just to do that, like throw together parts.
For sure.
I was the only one in my crew that really like got sponsored, but then I was like supplying all the boards for everyone, and then we went to college. We all went off to college, and like I was the only one that kept doing it. And that's when I didn't live at home anymore, like I lived in the dorms, I kind of had to go street skating because that's all there was. Mm-hmm. And that's when everything, that's like when I started going to X Games, and that's when like Phil came around. I want to say that was like my freshman year was when Phil showed up in
what,
the game.
What year was that?
That would be 06. It's always confusing because it's winter and it changes during winter from one year to the other. I graduated in 05, high school.
Okay.
And then I went to Bozeman. And I remember I bought, like, a Do, which was that... you guys don't know a Do? Okay, no, that was the first video I ever saw Phil in. That was that year that Phil had the same footage in all the videos. And it was, like, the best footage, and so no one cared. But the first video that had Phil do that kickflip back 50 on, like, that handrail...
It's groundbreaking.
Yeah, which was, like... It went from, and like we all bought X Grip after that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I paused that video. So it was this video. It was all ride on rails, but they were nuts. And it was made by like a snowboard film production. A dude that made snowboard videos made this snowskate video, who was based in like in Finland or something. It was called Adu, and there was a video before it, and I can't think of the name. But basically, it was just like all ride-on huge-ass handrails. But they were like like legit snowboard rails, you know, just like the 35-stair handrails. But they were all – they like built kickers, and they would just drop in and hit them. And they like frontboard the whole thing. So the picture looks amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's like a snowboard rail, snowboard picture, but it was ride-on. And that was like – except for Phil had footage in this one. And so it was that same footage.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't remember that video. I've
got to find. I didn't give it to you when I gave you all my.
No, I don't know. I don't think
I'm gonna have to look for. I'll look for it and send it to you. It's in PAL though, so it's kind of hard to find a thing that'll play it. Right. You have to play it in your laptop.
Okay.
Because laptops are cool like that. If you have a disk drive in your laptop, I don't even have a disk drive anymore.
I don't either.
So that experience now. So you're going X Games. You're doing all this stuff. And you're meeting other people that actually snow skate and are actually like taking it seriously. What was that like?
It was the first year I went to X Games was so interesting because it was like, it was me and my friend Max Konopatsky who showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Who he just showed up. But I was like, dude, you should come because he's super good. Just,
Premier alum, I should say.
Yeah. He got put on the team because he almost beat Phil that year.
Mm.
That first X Games, it was my freshman year of college. My friend and I just drove there. Well, I got invited. We just like showed up. My friend Max just showed up with us, and he was still in high school at the time. And it was interesting, like that. I met Matt Plays at that point, and Justin Majewski. Who else was there? Justin Parsons. God, who are some of the other people?
Hilty was probably there, right?
Yeah
Hilty was there. Max Hilty was there. And he was always weird. He was, like, quiet and, like, off to the... Wait. No, that was Isaac. Isaac was the quiet, weird one.
Sure.
That didn't talk to anybody. But we all were like, oh, that's Isaac, you know? Like, mm-hmm. But I remember I showed up before everyone else, like, flew in. And so, like, I'd been shredding the park. And when everybody else showed, it was kind of weird. There was like this weird energy. And then like I landed in front of everyone, a nollie double heel flip off of the box.
Wow.
And everyone was like, nice. Oh shit, there's Bjorn.
Nice. I remember.
On my full size too. And that was the other thing. I was the only one riding a full size. Everyone else was on the minis.
Right. They were 35 inches tall and then maybe like 9 inches wide. They were huge. Yeah.
My Chemical P.
Yep.
full size board. I landed a nollie double heel flip.
That is insane. Wow. I remember you talking about like training. I don't remember. Like you just like focused on. I remember you telling me like once you just like focused on flip tricks, consecutively doing it. And then you showed up and you're like, got it.
That was the first year. I made the finals, but that's it. Mm-hmm. It was Phil versus Konopatsky. It was kind of cool because Phil showed up and everyone was like, oh my God, that's the dude that did the kickflip back 50. And Phil shows up. He's this country boy. He's wearing New Balances. No, this was before New Balances were cool.
He is not wearing New Balances.
He was like, 2000s. In 2005, oh, 6. Phil shows up in his dad's New Balance, just like the ugliest. Like, and we were like, wait, who is this dude? Like, we're all wearing the ICOs or whatever, the like the Vans that I still have a pair.
Mine
like,
are right under your chair.
Sick. Like, Phil shows up and he's wearing the, I was like, what, this dude is whack. Like, what's going on? And then he just crushed it. He was so good. But my friend Max showed him up on a couple things. Because everything was ride on. Phil spent the entire first day building a little section so he could shine. So that he could do his trick on the side. And I remember that Matt Plays had learned some of his tricks too. And that was like the first time where I saw it. I was like, oh, everyone was like bandwagoning. Like everyone was like, oh, Phil did this trick. We all have to do this trick. And then everyone was trying to be like Phil. And I was the weirdo that was off doing just like weird, no comply, finger flip down. And then someone else built like a drop because Isaac built a drop because Isaac wanted to do all his flip tricks off of a drop. So he like spent the whole first day building that. Phil built his thing. And I was just like doing wild tricks and trying to find ways of hitting the features that no one else could even think of. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to try and wall ride underneath. Like that was just how my brain worked. I was always like, let's do something different and cool.
What was it like? How were the X Games like treating you? Cause like that was like such an interesting time with the X Games that it just lent itself to skateboarding and snowboarding popularity. And then I almost seeing videos of that. It almost seems like an afterthought because they give you like a little section of a hill. And the X Games aren't even in, the snow skating isn't even in the X Games anymore.
No. Yeah. No, it's not.
And they didn't give out medals, like you said.
Yeah.
It was an exhibition sport. So they were like, they always do that where they try it out, see if it's popular. We were on the third year that I went, it was televised on X Games Brazil. Which is hilarious. the second year they like took some actual rider input and they had better features, but that was when I was turning 21, and so I wanted to get a license, and you had to get if you got your driver's license before you turned 21, the pictures were not swapped, and I didn't want to have my license be wrong so that, you know. In Montana, they like switch it, or like the way it's laid out is different.
Yep.
If you can drink, so I waited, and my birthday's on the 25th of January. So like, I got my license and drove to X Games, and I got lost because this was pre GPS, and my printouts from GeoCities. What was it?
MapQuest.
MapQuest. If you made a wrong turn on your MapQuest, there's no recalculating. Yeah. There's just like, there's a. You got to go to a gas station and buy one of those like maps of the, I got super lost in Colorado and I was late. So I did not qualify for the finals. So I drove all the way there. Wasn't able to compete. I ended up filming instead. And that's why there was so much footage from that X Games. Cause like everyone's footage was shot by me that day. It was the third year that I went that I got third place.
So is that like the last year that the X Games had them, or?
I feel like it was. It was kind of weird because they had like a bi-deck category and a single-deck category.
Oh, really?
Right.
And this was the first year that I met Alan. And Alan and I just connected because everybody else just went there and was just partying. Like they were just there to party pretty much. And I remember I was like, I want to do well in this contest. Mm-hmm. So like, I was like all about the sleep. I was like working out a little bit leading up, and I did like really intense practice. So I would do this thing where I would do 5 kickflips, 5 heel flips, then 5 shove-its, 5 front shoves, and then 5 switch heels, 5 switch flips. Like, I would, and if I missed one, I had to start over to like my process, and I couldn't stop until I did the whole thing. And I distinctly remember that year there was like a kicker, and I just focused. And I never had this happen in my whole life since or up until this point, where I was completely in flow or in the zone, where like every trick I thought of, I could do. Mm-hmm. And like, I did tricks I'd never done that day, because I did every single trick that I knew how to do regular, and then I matched it switch immediately after.
That is like holy ground. Like, as a skateboarder, like, doesn't even matter. Like, I think maybe I've been to that place like once.
It's a weird, like, I think back on it and I was like, I remember just like standing up there. There was a couple things I did. I didn't look at anyone else. I didn't pay attention to what else was going on. I was just completely present in that moment. And like, and I had a whole strategy. I was like, okay, I'm going to do these tricks. I'm going to try this trick until I land it. I'm not going to do anything else. And I would just like, boom, land it right away. And then boom, land another one. And there was a trick that no one had ever seen. I'd never even seen anyone do it before. I did a front shove tail grab.
Yes.
Like, super big and lofty over this kicker. And I did it. you like that trick? It's a good trick. It's a good trick. No one had seen that before. I was super hyped. I did that. I remember tray flipping the tabletop first try.
Wow.
On like a full, like, and then I didn't do switch tray, but I did like, I did all of my tricks, and then I did them switch, most of them switch off this kicker. And then in the finals, I did it again. And I think I laser flipped, or like, I did some flip tricks that no one had seen before over this kicker. And no one else in the contest even realized what I was doing, because they were all focused on this like drop and this rail, and I never hit it. All I did was hit the, because I noticed that no one wanted to hit the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I got more hits because everyone else was like lining up and it was timed. So that was my getting third at X Games.
But even when you're dropping all these tricks, you're in the zone, you're doing all of them switch or most of them switch. Yeah. You still only got third.
Yeah.
So what did first and second do?
I feel like what it was is I got dinged for not, I think I did tricks in the whole park. Matt plays, and I think Phil beat me. So Phil was doing like Phil was doing kickflip back lip, which is harder than all of my flip tricks. But, you know, whatever. And contests are just kind of weird that way anyways, because it's like it all comes down to the judges and their opinions of like, oh well, this thing is harder, or this is not as, you know, like they have to make a decision,
right?
They're forced into a decision, and it's like, you know, and I was happy, like I was happy with that. I just wanted a place.
Totally.
That is so cool. So coming out of like park building now to snow skating being this like huge motivation, where are you at? What is snow skating to you at like that point? Like, as you're moving into, I mean, probably the next chapter would be like, what, like ambition and like.
So, funny story about getting on ambition. I had no plans to finish or to be on ambition. I was going to be done, but there was this project that I had always wanted to do, and I felt like snow skating needed. And my roommate at the time was Logan Triplett, who's like a cinematographer and a fellow skate friend. And he and I had talked a lot about this project that we wanted to see, because he was like, there's nothing in snow skating that's like good. It's all garbage. Like, yeah, the tricks are cool and whatever, but no one was taking any effort into like making it look really good and cinematic.
Right.
And this was right around like, what were those like ridiculous Travis Rice movies that were going out, that was coming out, the snowboard movies. But we really wanted to see something like that in snow skating. Mm-hmm. And so we had come up with this idea for a project, and I was like, all right, I thought, like, Premiere's done. Like, yeah, Ambition's, like, I'm stoked on it.
Well, so, the last sex game was, like, 07, 08.
Yeah.
And then that was, like, when Premiere was sort of, like, coming apart. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about where you're at.
Yeah. So instead of doing X Games, we, Logan and I, had talked about this project. And then I got hurt right before the winter started, which sucked. But he was like, who do you want to be in this? And I didn't, this was before they were like the biggest deal with all their stuff, with where Alan had like blew everyone's minds with the Ambition stuff. I was like, I want two people in this documentary. Phil and Alan. I'm like, nobody else. Like, I don't, he's like, well, who else do you want in this? Cause we can't just make it the Bjorn show. That's I understand. And then, so then we like reached out to them. And then we also reached out to Blay about using them in our documentary. And they kind of cut a deal with us, like, okay, there was some drama with the footage and all that. My only regret, I mean, it made True Color better, but we didn't want to give them any of the footage from the Jux doc because they wanted all of the best tricks.
Sure.
But we got a little bit of money from that, so we ended up just having to kind of fold. And we were all writing Premieres still anyway, which is kind of hilarious. Like, I had this weird backstock of Premiere boards that me and Alan would use. And I remember that first Ambition, I, like, couldn't do any tricks. Like, Logan made me do some tricks on it. Because we needed it for the doc and everything.
Mm-hmm. But you were used to writing a full size at this time, and on top of that, like the first round of Ambitions, they had the super super small grooves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you were used to like the big five groove Premieres versus mm-hmm. the very tiny seven groove Ambitions, I mean, I remember me first stepping on an Ambition, I couldn't ride in a straight line until I got used to it. You know? Yeah. So that combination had to have been tough for sure.
Yeah. Like I could not ride them. But my plan was, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this documentary and just be done. Be done with snow skating. This is like my last thing that I want to do.
Your retirement part.
My retirement. I was like, this is something I want to do, but I don't see myself like continuing anything in snow skating. I want to just like move on with my life. And what that project did was like explode my career and my involvement in the sport. More than anything else, like it was, and I was so happy with how it turned out. Like I was really stoked. I mean, we had so many struggles though. There were so many things working against us. Like mm-hmm. I tore all the ligaments in my ankle a couple weeks before in like, I don't know. It was in like November that year. So then I'm like fully like trying to recover. And like, we were like, shoot, how are we going to, we ended up shooting pretty much the whole documentary in like February, like starting in like late February on, like nothing was, or end of January is when we started filming for it pretty much, which is crazy. And like, yeah, that project was amazing. It was so cool. And like, I remember I was just like carrying so much stuff and I drove like 100% of it. And like, it was a struggle, but it was a lot of fun. Like, and I was so proud of how it turned out.
It does really stand up. Like, I mean, I'm probably going to have to rewatch it now, the Jux doc now, because, like, it just, like, I remember when that first came out, and, like, I'd never seen anything like that. Like, you mentioned you were, like, you were pretty young when that came out. I was
right.
Not much older. But, yeah, man, that was just, like, really such a, like, taste of hype.
Yeah.
You know, because making it look good and, like, just elevating it to like a new level from that, especially coming from that Premiere X Games sort of background where it was just kind of like an exhibition sport or like a novelty, to like something that like has real dedication. That was like such a huge thing.
Yeah, and like as a kid growing up watching the Jux doc, I went from, you know, watching backyard premiere footage and photos from the X Games, like a bunch of ride-ons or whatever, to like this full-fledged like cinematography, or you know, cinematic production, if you will. And it was like, oh, okay, snow skating is legitimate. This is a real thing. This is really cool.
Yeah. God, it's so crazy. Like, yeah, it was like all legit, but like the budget and everything that that Logan and I made that entire film on is just like nothing. It's so crazy. Like how much, I mean, like I put so much of my own money into that and got none of it back. Like, and it was like the unfortunate thing is like there was a little bit of a separation after that project between Logan and I. And just because, like, I did drop so much money on it, and then he got paid, and I didn't.
Ah.
So it was sort of like, yeah, but I put this, and he was trying to argue that it was, well, it blew up my snow skate career. And it's like, well, that's, like, not much. But, you know, I'm still proud of the project and everything.
For sure.
And it's so interesting to hear you guys, like, saying that, because it's like, God, I mean, some of it is backyard footage, actually. It's at my parents' house. Mm-hmm. We spent several days there.
Yeah.
Like, but we just, you know, we just dressed it up and took that extra effort to, like, make it look really good.
But also, like, changing the tone of a snow skate video to something that is, like with the changing technology, because you think back to, but, like, now using HD and, like, having technology that can shoot HD in the winter, which was we've talked about before on the podcast, how hard that was filming on, like, SD cards and stuff, and then having that jump. I think the Jux doc really, like, set that tone and then, you know, backed that right up to True Color that even ran with that even more. Mm-hmm. So even though there was, yeah, man, that's so interesting. That I never really looked at it like the linear succession of it all, I guess.
Yeah. We just really wanted to see something well done, and it wasn't happening. And we wanted the best riders, and then we got Ambition on board for it, and it was a cool project. And then it kind of, that was my, I want to say it was like my senior year of college, like my fifth senior year of college, that I did that project. And nope, it wasn't. It was my junior year. My fourth junior year. Fourth year of college that we did that project. Yeah, and then it just, like, Logan and I kind of took, like, went our separate ways the next year, and then Alan and I kept doing stuff together. That was cool. Mm-hmm. X Games was still kind of around and kind of a thing, but not quite so much. And yeah, and then we had the Yeti Jam happening too, which was, it was pretty crazy because, like, we did this contest, and then it was a bigger deal than the X Games for snow skating at one point.
Yeah.
And I know that it was the inspiration for Phil. After Phil saw what I did, he was like, what? I want to do that with the Northwest or whatever.
Midwest Open.
So he started doing that because he came to it one year, and then he was just, like, blown away by this scene that we basically created in this tiny little town.
Yeah, it was super, like, and again, going back to that, like, park building, seeing the things you were building for Yeti Jam inspired this guy over here a little bit, and I did a comp as well after seeing. I was like, man, I guess that's all it takes. It's like, I can already build parks. It's like having that step forward. And then, yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really, I mean, I know a little bit about it, but so that was after Juxtock, the Yeti Jam, when that started?
No, it started when I was in high school.
Okay.
And then we just kept doing it. Juxtock, we just had a section from the Yeti Jam that we filmed. But yeah, the Yeti Jam went for 5 years, I think.
And it was getting bigger and bigger as time went on, right? You're attracting guys like Mitch and Austin driving down from Saskatchewan, people coming from all over to go to the Yeti Jam.
Right. We had met them, I want to say we met them the year before, and those were the other two dudes that we were like, these are the next people in the sport. And so, like, we really encouraged them, and then we actually got them to come down and shoot for with us for the Juxtock. They came for, like, 3 days or something, and we And we were blown away. I mean, like, imagine if you had just, like, had, like, because it was me, Phil, and Alan, and then Logan, and we reached out to them and we're like, yo, come film. This is the next thing. Like, we were kind of, I mean, the Juxtalk exploded us, but we were on the forums and stuff. Like, we were still kind of a big deal. It's like all these big pros are like, hey, come hang out with us. And
right.
They were so young. It's so weird to think about. Like, they were like in high school and we were all in college.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were like, I don't know. They're pretty young. They were like barely 18, I want to say. I don't even think they were 18, you know, like, and imagine crossing the border and just like cruising down. They came and stayed with us.
I bet those dudes are freaking out at that point.
Like, yeah.
Coming to meet their, you know, probably snow skate heroes, if you will.
Right.
You know?
Because, yeah, we met them at the Yeti Jam. They had, like, one of them, like, placed not in the pro category, but, like, in the advanced category. Mm-hmm. We had the size of participation in that event was insane. We had, one year we had, I think, 60 or 70 riders.
Holy cow.
Which is insane to think about. We had a guy fly from Germany. One year.
That's crazy.
Like, wow. we had people, like, it was a big deal.
Well, you had good coverage. That was one of the things we talked about, is, like, your publicity and, like, again, like, the sponsorships and stuff you were getting. I mean, it really, like, I don't know even where I heard of it, but I would see videos on, like, old YouTube.
Yeah.
And be like, this is insane. Like, the amount of, like, not only sponsors, but the people, like, yeah, like you mentioned, like, that really hadn't been done. I think that might be another NBD, Eric. I don't know. But because the X Game was one thing, but to do that and, like, take away the moniker of, like, oh, this is the next extreme sport and this is a grassroots thing, like,
yeah,
that's just huge.
Yeah, it was, and it was a big deal. Like, what we wanted, we always wanted to make, like, really good videos for the thing. I mean, granted, it did, the videos were really repetitive and we had a couple, we figured out ways of making it look interesting, but it did sometimes start to be like, okay, you know. We had some people that sort of took over the event after I was always there, but like I always designed every park and built a lot of the features, but not all of them. And a friend of mine and his family kind of took over the event for a few years. And then the last year that we did it was, I want to say 2009, I think was the last year we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did 100% of it. Like, I had a team of people, but then people kept, like, dropping the ball. And then I just ended up... So I basically just did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot. And so I decided to kind of just be like, you know what? Rather than have... Because I tried to pass it on to somebody else. And they had not really done much that year.
Mm-hmm.
I was just worried about it being run really poorly and then looking bad.
Right.
So I felt it was better to just be like, all right, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
No more. No more Yeti Jams. And
that's so cool. Talk about the sponsorships a little bit, because I think that's one of the great things that came out of it, is you took that momentum, maybe from the X Games, maybe from, you know, whatever building momentum Snowskate had, and you just, like, capitalized on it. I love that.
We just, I don't know, I just, like, hit up every single, like, I just went online and I just, like, searched companies, and then I would find their, I would just email their info email. Like, hey, we're looking for sponsorships for this whole thing. My stepdad helped a ton. We had a whole form that you could fill out, or, like, different levels of sponsorship, like in-kind donations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed us how to do that, but then we really ran with it. And we ended up, like, one year we had Burton, and they sponsored a whole bunch of stuff. The local snowboard shop that I worked at, they sponsored every year because they sold us, like, a ton of snow skates as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were selling, they were selling so many snow skates. It was insane. And the shoes and everything. Like, it's funny because they were, I came back later, they're like, yeah, we really saw a significant decline in the snow skate sales after the Yeti Jam no longer happened. But yeah, that was, the Yeti Jam days were cool. That contest was just really fun. It was just so much fun.
I'll say that's what the coverage of it just made it look fun, because it wasn't so much as, like, the layout of the park was more organic, and, like, there's this kind of that, like, you know, mad dash sort of thing that you had going
on. Yeah. And we coupled it with there was like this local thing that happened in Whitefish, where it was in Whitefish, Montana. It was like this winter carnival. And so we, like, I was on the winter carnival committee for the whole thing, and like I would go to these really boring meetings and stuff and like vote. It was it was cool. But the reason that we were able to be so successful with it was because there's this huge event, and we were right at the end of where the parade went. And so like everyone was looking for stuff to do, and we made these really interesting looking courses. So people would just stop by. I mean, we had a huge audience. We had hundreds of people during the events and watching, and it was pretty cool, you know? I mean, it was we made a cool looking thing. And I remember like a couple, yeah, like we had some copycat things happen, but nothing was as successful.
So the Yeti Jam is a success, but at the same time, you're contemplating retiring and exiting snow skating, but of course you end up staying in it. So you must have gotten picked up by Ambition at this point, or how did that play out?
I got fully picked up on during the filming of the Juxtoc. They pretty much like put me on the team, and then I was in the video after that. And then I also got a job working at High Cascade Snowboard Camp in the summer. So I was like snow skating up there, which was pretty fun, and teaching skateboarding at the camp. And like I just had built this huge network of like people and kids. And like anytime I released something, I was able to like really get a lot of views and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really active in doing stuff with just creating content,
right?
You know, for Ambition, like writing articles and coming up with like, I had so many like different ideas and things I wanted to do, but there was always like this pushback that Alan and I had always struggled with, was like our view of what snow skating is was different than what Ambition's view of what snow skating is.
Right.
For us, it was always like this snowboard influence versus the skate influence, because it is like the coming together of skateboarding and snowboarding. And so like we were heavier on the snowboard influence versus being heavy on the skate influence. Like we liked hitting stuff like rails that were in snowboard parks up at ski areas, which is kind of hilarious. All the footage from the Juxtoc is completely like not, we were totally not allowed to be up there. But if you hit the late season up at the mountains, they close at 3, because in the winter that's dark. But then towards the spring when we were filming, it's dark. It doesn't get dark for like 4 hours. So we were just up there. The lifts are all closed, and we were just hiking around and hitting the parks.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. I think they cracked down on it more. Like we did a lot of stuff. You weren't really, a lot of the snowboard park footage that we got was always like post season, like way post season, like after the ski areas
that
closed.
That is so cool. So that then kind of all leads up to True Color then. And you had kind of I want to say like middle of the movie part. I want to say like about halfway through.
Which one? I can't even remember now. I get them. They're kind of all like mixed together. Yeah. True Color.
And filming for that wasn't it 2 years, or was it 1 year?
No, True Color was at the same time as the Juxtoc. So it was just footage from that we shot during the Juxtoc combined with footage that they shot before we went.
So you didn't exclusively like go out and film for True Color. It was just already stuff that you.
Yeah. It was just footage. It was just footage that got grabbed from Jux. But Logan argued to use more of mine, so I had less footage in that.
Sure.
Because he wanted to have more like unique shots, you know, because that was one of our biggest complaints about snow skating, was it'd be like Phil having a part in 4 videos 1 year, all of the exact same footage edited to different songs by different people.
Right.
But what was the next video? Excuse me.
Snow Skate Aliens would be next.
Snow Skate Aliens? Okay.
Boy, well, before you go into that,
yeah.
Were you at the premiere for True Color?
No, I didn't make it to the premiere.
Oh, okay.
I was in school. I was on the phone with Alan during it. But we didn't make it out to that. Yeah, we really wanted to, and we were totally invited. But wait, was that the one where they did the live premiere?
The online one.
Right. The online one?
That didn't work the first time around?
Yeah, and then they did the, yeah.
And then they did it, like everyone tuned in. No, we threw a party at my house for that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, nice. And we all watched it. So I do remember that. I was trying to remember. Yeah, that's what it was. That was pretty cool. I had some like friends over, and we all like hooked up the laptop to a computer.
Nice.
Or to a screen.
TV, yeah.
To a television and watched it. Yeah.
So how did you feel after that? And then, like, are you still at that point, like, trying to get out of snow skating? Because then...
Well, I just completely, like, after being in that world that whole winter, I, like, just forgot about that plan of leaving and just got totally sucked into it.
Hmm.
Like, because then it was like, oh, now we're doing this other thing. And so we started doing footage for that, you know? And, like, that was one year that... That was the first year that... we flew out here, we didn't fly. We drove. me and Logan drove here for Christmas, and we filmed with Alan during this crazy, there was so much snow here that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a bunch of footage. That was when we started using the bungees and stuff. And then we went up to Canada, and we flew from here to like Vermont. And then we drove from Vermont and like drove all over up in Canada for that video. The only problem with when Alan and I were filming together, and this was always the struggle, is and the reason my parts were always so short, there was always a reason. Like, I didn't have a full part in True Color because we wanted to save my footage for the Juxtoc, so that more of my footage was in that. Then the next video, I filmed with Alan the entire season. So Alan did better tricks on the same features. So it was like, well, we're not going to use Bjorn's ollie because Alan did Alan did something better. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and there was a couple of, and the things that would have made it regardless, I didn't land, unfortunately. Like, like there was this huge handrail up in north that we went 4 days. I tried to front board it.
Wow.
Like, I got just wrecked trying to front board that rail, like, for just days and days. We came back, and Alan got a trick every time we went there. So Alan had, like, four tricks on the rail, and I got super close, but I never landed it, unfortunately.
But you still ended up with good parts and Aliens and then Skrill Clinton the year after. I mean, that pole jam lip slide in Skrill Clinton is one of my favorite tricks in that whole video.
Well, thank you. Oh, my God. That means so much. It's so funny because that spot kind of started as a... Well, that footage came from us filming for the Icon scavenger hunt.
Yeah, the Ghost Snowskate Day edit.
It was a Ghost Snowskate Day edit.
And that 2011 Ghost Snowskate Day edit is probably the best Ghost Snowskate Day edit ever made.
Wasn't that
one was so sick.
Is that the first Ghost Snowskating Day in 11?
No, it was the second one. Yeah, it was the 10. Second one. Because I came out here and just basically lived with Alan and his mom for a month. And we traveled a bunch. And it was on Ghost Snowskate Day. And we had been sessioning a lot at this one spot. And we were like... Should we do the edit? That's kind of like, I mean, we wanted it. We were like, this is so fun. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it. We legit filmed that and edited it like in the right amount of time that you were supposed to. And like, we were like literally running. Like we spent the whole day doing all of that. And then that footage ended up being like some of the best footage.
Yeah, they're always so fun. Like every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shout out to Icon.
I think that was it was like the NBD, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like we had this pole jam that we would set up. We would just like build a kicker and then we just throw the pole jam in and like set it up in different places. And the funny thing was is I wanted to do this weird, and it was like a six stair handrail, but I wanted to do some tricks on it, and Alan said it was stupid. And I spent all this time setting it up to like have a little kicker onto this rail, and I was like, I don't know, I want to like do some like lofty flip tricks and like land on this thing.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it, but it didn't really work. And then we were filming that. And I was like, oh, what about that spot that I set up? I'm like, how about I do? Okay, I got a trick. And I like put the pole jam in and I got it like second try.
Nice.
I was like, oh shit.
That's so cool.
Which is hilarious that it was like that quick. You know, we spend all this time and effort on these other things. And then like I just like get it immediately.
And that trick was so cool and also unique at the same time that even though it was used in the Ghost Snowskate Day edit, the fact that it was the last trick in your part in Skrill Clinton, I was like, I have no issue with this. This trick That's is awesome. Fucking sick. Like,
thank you.
It's still cool, you know?
That's awesome.
And was that your last Ambition video then? Was Aliens?
Yeah.
And then
because I had technically left, but they wanted me to use the footage.
Right. You had like a weird thing where, because you were on Icon.
I was really frustrated with Ambition just because my approach was so different than their approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird part is like I had a pro model and there was some drama around that. Like the only board I had of my pro model was the one that my mom purchased because they sold out. It was like the most popular board.
That was the orange one, right?
The orange
one.
Yeah,
that's right.
It sold out before it pre-sold. All of them. So I never got a actual copy of it.
But your mom has one, at least.
But my mom has one. Well, there's that one that's just destroyed because I rode it the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom bought one, and I was like, okay, I'm going to ride this, and then I'm going to, when I, obviously, it's my pro model, I'm going to get one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'll just replace it.
Yeah.
I do have a piece of the grip. That's framed.
Oh, and cool.
That my mom has at my at her house. So that's cool.
That's super cool.
Cause yeah, I was hyped on that pro model. I was so stoked on how it all turned out. It was really, really cool. I ended up, but I was just bummed cause I like didn't really get a copy of it. Cause that was where Ambition was like selling through all the boards, which is good, but they were like pre-selling them. And then like, you know, it was just such a bummer that I didn't really get any of my own board. And I was really frustrated with that.
Right.
Also, my board was supposed to be the same size as Alan's. That was part of the thing.
Oh.
And I was really frustrated with, I didn't know that it wasn't until I got it.
Yeah.
Until I got the copy that my mom got.
And you're like, oh, purchased. This is standard size and not the size that I actually ride.
Yeah, exactly. And that was always a struggle that we were going through is like, me and Alan were supposed to both have big boards, and then they were going to do the other size.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you know, I mean, I understand it from Blaze's point of view, but it just came down to like, you know, like we were just butting heads on stuff, and I was really, really frustrated. And so like on one of the snowskate trips, I talked to Steve and Matt. We went to the Icon Snowskate event and like, helped set it up and stuff, and then like
lots of turf.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was a fun contest. Anyway, it was at that contest that I was just like, you know, I was talking to Steve and them about maybe being on their team, and they were so hyped.
Oh, cool.
And like, you know, obviously promising the world as well. And to not be, you know, like, I was like, oh, they're building the boards themselves. I'll for sure be able to build a board.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched over to, so I ended up having, I had a conversation with Blay. Nope, I think I sent him an email. Because I had to finish out the trip. But, like, I got a couple icons from them when I switched.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, but I had to finish out the season. And I had already filmed all the stuff with them. And then I ended up switching over to Icon's team, which was cool, and getting to actually go work for them and build the boards was like such a cool experience.
And you moved out to the East Coast at this time too, right?
So I like went back to my parents' house in Montana. Then I did a summer out, my second summer at High Cascade, and then after that was over, I drove out to the East Coast for like and worked literally building the boards, which was so fun.
Yeah, talk about that process, because like I always wonder, I see pictures of the workshop, but like are they like getting the layers and actually like pressing it in shop, or like
so we would press the wood together and then we would press the material on top for, well, there was two different styles. Mm-hmm. So there was the ones with the grooves cut in, mm-hmm. and then there was the ones where
the
we cut the
base.
Yeah,
right.
And then
that's what I had.
We had the ones that were like you cut the grooves in the wood and then you pressed it again. Mm-hmm. And those ones were a lot more complicated. Steve had developed this kind of crazy process to do that, where like, it worked really well, but like we had this mold and you put the boards in with that had been cut, and then you put the base on there, you put the epoxy, and then you put the base on there, and then we would inflate this like custom made rubber tire thing that would push the groove, the thing into the, as it dried, and we heated it up. So it was like, the mold was all made of metal and like heated so that the plastic would melt a little bit. And then as that was happening, we like used the air compressor to push the like tire thing that would push it into the grooves.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then the waxable base ones, we would press the layers. Then we would do the epoxy and put it in this like bag basically. And then you pull all the air out of it. And so it just like pulls it together and pressed it.
So when you were on Icon, did you skate the cut groove base or did you skate the pressed more rolly groove base?
I liked the pressed more.
Okay.
Like I always liked that style more.
They're fast and they're waxable. And like, I remember when I got mine versus the Ambitions, I was like, you know, it'll hold wax and it's fast. And like,
yeah, I just like those designs better than I always did. Like, I mean, I got used to both, and like, I like the bigger grooves better personally. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just used to it. The process though was just, it was too long, and there was no way to make it faster or cheaper. It was too expensive to make it realistically. But I really liked how the boards were and how they rode.
Yeah, they were good boards.
And so I rode for them, and then that winter like didn't happen. Like, we did a bunch of stuff where we like made snow and we got snow from this hockey rink, and that's where all that footage came from, that and then the stuff that I did out at Hood.
And this was 2012, 2013, right?
Yeah, this would be 2012. And then basically I went home for Christmas, and then I didn't know what was going to happen next, because Steve was just like, hey, you made too many boards and we're not selling them. Like, we're not selling, because we thought we were expecting sales to go. They were expecting the same growth that they'd had each year. Mm-hmm. And so we upped our inventory to meet that growth that we thought we were going to have.
Right.
And then winter didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so no one was buying snow skates.
Right.
Because there was like no snow anywhere.
That's what I find to be hard about snow skating, is that you need snow.
For people to want the boards.
For people to want them, yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, so that happened, and then they were like, well, we can't have you working in the shop anymore, because they had to like kind of cut costs. Plus, I had made a lot of boards.
Enough boards for a couple winners already.
I had made so many boards, like so many. Because that was the other thing, is it was like, I was like their only employee at one point, and I literally had spent like the last of my credit card limit to get to Steve's house. Like, I was on E, like, I gotta find this place. So like, I got there, and so it was so awesome because I got to live, like, they let me live there rent free, and then that was like part of my rent was like building boards. And then they pay me an hourly, and I worked, and so it was like I could work as much as I wanted. So I like just tracked my hours, and I worked a lot. And I made a ton of boards, which I also just love doing that. Like, it was really fun making the boards. But then after Christmas happened, and they were like, yeah, we aren't getting the sales that we expected. Like, we got to cut some costs, so we can't have you. And plus, we don't know what we would do with you. And so I decided to move here to Minneapolis at that point.
Now, you said you were also listening to a lot of podcasts at Icon.
Yeah. So when I was working at Icon, I just would be on headphones all day. And I started with books, and then I started listening to podcasts because they were free. I listened to the entire backlog of WTF at that point. So that was in 2012. It had been going for maybe 4 years or something like that. But I listened to the entire backlog. I listened to the I started listening to Pete Holmes' podcast.
You Made It Weird.
Yep. You Made It Weird on episode one, which is crazy to
I
think
started
about.
Really early too in that one.
Because his first guest was like Camille Nanjiani.
Yeah.
And I was like a huge fan of him. I didn't even know who Pete was.
Yeah.
So I started listening to that podcast like religiously. And that's where it started when I was in Massachusetts. And then like he would reference places in Massachusetts, which was like, oh, crazy. Like that's really close to where I'm at. And then so I was there and I was like, what am I going to do like with my life? And that's when I decided to move to Minneapolis and start doing stand-up comedy.
So snow skating, after you left Icon, were you, I mean, you still had it, and I know we would, because you moved to Minneapolis, see a little secret that's where I'm from. and like, yeah, I remember meeting you through Alan and like us both having that stand-up connection. Were you like still kind of thinking about like you at least had a snow skate or something? You maybe go out and
I mean I still ride a little bit. I didn't really there wasn't snow that year though, so I pretty much like finished out. I went and rode like two or three times with Alan, and then after that, then that summer, I think we went out to X Games or no to the U.S. Open or something like that. The first summer I was here, Alan and I flew out there for that, and. Then that was when we got reconnected with the Premier Dude and Evolve, kinda.
Andy?
Mm.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't really film much for Icon because the snow just didn't happen. I just, like, didn't have a winner to do that. And then the next year, I got on. So then it was, like, I didn't really know what was happening with Icon. And I was sort of, like, I'm kind of done snow skating. And then Phil approached me with this idea with Evolve. He's, like, you can get a board, you can design it, because I wanted to design my own board. Mm-hmm. That was really what I wanted, and no one was letting me do that, and they weren't gonna let me do that at Icon either, unfortunately, after I had like cut all ties. And then like I was like, oh well, you're not gonna let me do it either. And they did let me build my own board, so I have my own custom made Icons that I made by hand.
And I remember seeing footage of you with like they were like a striped bottom Icon or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're not selling those. Bjorn's doing something. I don't know what it is.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Like I made those by myself in the shop. And whenever you had a seam, you had to sand it. And I hated that because I spent so much time sanding so many boards.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there's a seam, the glue comes through. But I noticed that when you cut the grooves after, like, so if you where you cut the grooves, you don't have to sand because it cuts off that excess that pops through. So I was like, well, just put the seams where the grooves are. And so that's what I did with those boards so that I could have the full base and I didn't have to sand anything.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of based out of laziness.
Looks sick, though.
But it was that board is, I still have that board. It's huge. It's like almost too big. Cause like I couldn't make a longer board because the limitations. And after doing production, I now understand why. So you have to have a totally different mold to move the tip and tail further out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did with that board is I just used wider plies and then I cut it wide. Like I just, there's all this extra that we leave, so I just like, or that you cut off, so I just left more of it on there to make a bigger board, but it still has the same kicks as like a regular size Icon. It's just cut longer.
Gotcha.
And that's what I wanted. I wanted that from a board, and no one would let me do that. And then then Phil came along and was like, yeah, I'll let you do that and do this graphic. And I was like, hell yeah. So I did it. But I don't really fully understand the backstory of that. I was so in the dark about it. And like, there was that weird season of like 2013, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the boards that I did get were unrideable.
Yep.
Like, I still have them, but they were unrideable. Mm-hmm. It was like trying to ride on like a plastic tray or something down the hill, or like a saucer. That's pretty much how they rode.
They did not work. I had the unfortunate privilege of stepping on one and trying to snow skate, and it makes it all the more crazy that Josh Oakes took one, or he took one of those to Barber Gazee the first year that happened in Montreal, and he like three flipped the nine stair. I think he won that year or something. Like, he threw down, and after riding one of those snow skates, I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. For the record, he did ride my board in that.
It's a good plug, Bjorn.
I was like, oh man, that is my pro model, because it was this like whack shape. Like, I wanted to do an experimental board, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like an okay shape, but those things were just unrideable.
Yeah,
that really killed my snow skating, though. I'm not gonna lie, because I was like, it was cool because we were actually getting paid, because that was the first time that had happened, and that was always a frustration. It's just like, yeah, do all these tricks and do all this crazy stuff, but like, don't get paid, you know? So we were, and that was the thing that Phil was like, yeah, we're going to get like a salary. And so like, that was rad. And I was getting money, but every time I tried to do any trick, I couldn't even ride to the feature. And I was getting so frustrated. And I was like, and you know, and then they're hitting me up. They're like, hey, why do you have no footage and no, and I'm just like, cause I can't ride this board. Like, and my stuff is so, that's what it is. It's style. It's like, versus like doing, I could probably ride 3 feet, do a kickflip and land eventually, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like the stuff I was trying to do was like, I remember like I went and tried to film with Alan on a couple of spots, and like, I couldn't even like ride to the feature, and I was so frustrated. And that was just like, that really killed it for me. And at that time I was like, I had started doing stand up. I was doing a ton of stand up comedy.
So wrap that up. Evolve is defunct.
Yeah. I don't think it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of like stopped getting paychecks, and I don't really know what all happened with that, but I was just kind of like, I'm not gonna do this anymore.
Yeah, and these paychecks that you were getting, were they enough to live off of, or were they just something supplemental, something nice to have?
It's like $100 a month, like, you know, big ballin'.
I remember the branding was cool. Like, I remember when I would like see it coming, like, talk about rollout. Like, I think I kind of had a great rollout. Evolve, like, you know, I remember feeling a lot of hype. I was like seeing like, oh man, a new company. We're going to get some new technology here. And then, yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting for a second, especially to have, you know, Phil, Josh, you behind it. Yeah, I was like, oh, cool, this could be something.
You guys threw your hat in, and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the snow skating technology I've been waiting for. And then
didn't happen.
Well, the board designs were all done by me, which
were great, by the way.
Maybe it was part of the problem, but, like, we didn't even, like, try it. And I don't know how much they used of my design and like shapes and stuff that I sent, but like I did CAD drawings of what I wanted, and and they made it. It just didn't work at all.
So new city, new opportunity. Did you move to Minneapolis just for stand up?
Pretty much, because I was listening. This is a weird story. I was listening to this other podcast. It was like the podcast of comedy. And there was the host was Kate, and I noticed that she was interviewing all the things were in Minneapolis. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Kate who?
Her name is Kate Urquhart. She actually passed away like a few years after I moved here. I want to say 2015 or something like that. She passed away. But I was at the one of the first open mics I went to. I'm at the mic, and like, I hear this voice, and I was like, oh my God, that's the voice in that podcast. And so like, I approached her afterwards. I was like, oh my God, I listen to your podcast. She was the sweetest. She was always really, really nice.
I might've seen her. I can't remember. I can't put a
She's
face
a bigger on. Lady.
Yeah.
Lesbian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I had seen her. I'd never like talked to her though. I remember. Yeah. Cause like, so when did you officially like start moving today? Was it like right when you moved to town?
Pretty much, it was like a month or two in from moving to town. I went to open mics for a month and just watched the entire open mic, which now going back and thinking about that is just like, wow. Like, and I still did it, but it gives you so much confidence, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah.
It's like going, it'd be like if you could go to a skate park and then just like everyone there sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
That's a great analogy.
Everybody here is terrible. I'm going to be a professional at that.
Yeah.
Going to the top, baby.
That is so funny.
It gives you so much confidence in it, and then you try it, and you're like, oh, this is a lot harder.
How much did you prepare for, like, your first set? Like,
what so was, much.
Oh, my God. I remember because, like, when we started hanging out, you, like, had all the books. You're like, you got to get this book, Andrew. It's going to be how you learn stand-up. It's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it.
And we just sit there and, like, rattle out jokes. And, oh, damn it. He's right.
I just, like, studied it, and, like, I read a bunch of books, and I, like, listened to a bunch of podcasts and just started doing it. And then, like, I was really bad, and then I came out, and then it was, like, way better. Because I was, like, being real, and that's what it's all about, you know? Like, being real and honest.
How much did those two help each other?
What?
Came out.
Oh. Well, and then I got, like, booked on all these things way over my head. They're like, oh, you're, like, a gay comedian? Do this festival.
Oh, my God.
So I, like, found myself, like, doing 20 minutes when I had, like, maybe five, and they're, like, expecting this. I don't know.
Well, because your comedy explores that and is, like...
Yeah.
I have to imagine that that's, like, a fun way to, like, explore yourself. And like,
it is. It's crazy that, like... And it helped me, like... come to terms with it and like laugh at those parts of your life or whatever and not just like stress about them.
Yeah, comedy's good for that.
Yeah, it's a good outlet. It's sort of, I don't know, it's kind of like, it's like my favorite thing and the worst thing at the same time because it's like so hard and so frustrating but yet so fun. So I guess it's a lot like everything I've done.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because it's kind of like a discipline that fills the role of snow skating, but it's just a different sort of...
Well, so in my last few years and, like, when I was, like, doing the Icon stuff, I was getting hurt a lot more. And, like, I couldn't physically skate as hard as I could. And I, like, it was all catching up to me. And then the biggest thing was I had a friend pass away, a snowboarder friend from high school who was, like, literally about to explode on the scene. And that just kind of, like, I did do the Icon thing because I had already signed up for all of that and, like, move over there. But, like, that summer before I moved there, when my friend Aaron Robinson passed away, he was in Chile and he just filming for this snowboard video, this huge snowboard video. He had the cover of Transworld that month, actually.
Wow.
Like, it was already in print and, like, we all found out that he passed away, which was... it was a weird freak, like, just perfect fall where his head hit a rock and just, like, done. And it just really changed my life completely, where I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this forever. Like, I'm not invincible. You know, we are human and life is finite. Like, it's not a thing that goes on forever. And
the devil, you say.
Yeah, no. It just, like, it threw me and I was like, is there anything I want to do? And so I was, like, really pondering that question a lot. And then, like, while I was working and, like, building these boards in this workshop and thinking about that. And then the snow not happening. And I was just like, what am I going to do? And, like, I was riding harder than I'd ever ridden. I think I was taking, like, my sexual frustration that I was bottling up. And I would use that energy and put that into my riding. And like my tenacity came from that energy that I was like denying of myself and I hated about myself.
And were you conscious of that at that time, or was that something you weren't aware of?
I was unwilling to address it.
Okay. Mm.
So it was like, well, I can't be this thing, so I'm going to just focus on this thing. And I always needed something to keep me distracted all the time. And that skateboarding and snow skating was that distraction for me of just like at any time I would like have a thought or whatever, I would just be like, nope, skateboarding. Like, nope, right. I'm just going to think about that. Like, let's not think about that. Let's just focus on this. And then with these injuries, it was taking that away from me, where like my entire identity was built around snow skating, around skateboarding. And then when I would get hurt and I couldn't do it, it was just like having your identity taken away for those weeks, you know, when you're on the couch or whatever from those injuries. And so then I was like, I need something that I can take all my energy and put it into. that I can just work towards. And stand up was that thing for me. And then I figured, and then stand up is all about self exploration, and then it just, you know, kind of fell apart from there. Fell apart.
And you're still going.
Yeah, I still do stand up quite a bit. It's just one of those things where it's like you, it's, I guess it's similar to like skating or something like that, you know, like you do these shows and like, and then you have to just constantly be working and trying to book yourself and like do more. It's so hard to make real money. It's like, yeah, you're in the spotlight literally, but then you're really not making much money doing it. You know, you got to do it for the love, not for the money, because that's not there.
That's amazing. And you've done some other communities too. So Minneapolis, and then you moved to Vegas.
I moved to Vegas. Kind of just, I don't know why I moved to Vegas, honestly. Like, it was a weird choice. It was like, wait, what? I can afford a 3-bedroom, 3-bath house with a pool and a garage? It was $1,000 a month.
Wow. Holy cow.
So that's why we were like, and then I had started this online business selling men's underwear. Bearskin.com is the website. My partner and I had started that brand, and I was like, oh, we can live anywhere. So then we were like, wait, that's how much a house is? And like, I don't know, it like seemed like a really cool, good choice. And there's just no community, and people there are just terrible. And so it's like, yeah, you have this cool house, but you don't have any good friends, or like the culture is just so shallow and not there. And you learn what you value when you don't have it. You know, you're like, oh yeah, Minneapolis is like so cold, but you have friends,
right?
And people you want to be around.
Yeah, that's so true. And I understand like the snow skate scene in Nevada.
I don't know. I have no idea. I did go up to Mount Charleston once and snow skated for like a hot minute, but I just kind of ollied over some branches and stuff.
Nice.
Not much of a snow skate scene in the Vegas Strip, though.
No, not really. Oh,
that's weird.
I know. It's crazy.
They got everything, though. Okay.
Yeah. They don't have the ski area. Well, there is a ski area there.
It's like the indoor one.
Yeah, they don't have the indoor one. It's like you have to drive. So it's like a hassle.
It's up by Tahoe, I bet.
No, it's Mount Charleston, so it's like north of the city. It's like just north. There's literally a ski area there, but it's like all ice, and it's not very good.
So then after that, Portland, though.
So now I live in Portland. Yeah, right. Portland, Oregon.
The more or less birthplace.
That's where Premier came from.
That is true.
Premier is based out of there.
Out of Mount Hood, some of the first, one of the first handrail tricks is like the entryway up to like the chalet at Meadows, I think.
Yeah, it is. I was actually, no, it's not Meadows.
It's the other one, Bowl.
No, it's Timberline Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the right. I think that's the one we're thinking of.
We all have the same image in
our head. Yeah. Some of the first ones. Yeah, I remember that. I think I had a picture of one of those. And yeah. Alan got to ride that weird tunnel that Nico, or no, somebody rode in one of the videos.
In the early ones.
Yeah, this like greenish tunnel. Alan totally got to ride it.
I have to rewatch
it. It's like a very nostalgic thing. It's just like, it's dumb. But there's I had a photo, like an old Premiere photo of a dude just like wall riding in it.
I vaguely remember that.
But
that would be cool to see some early snow skating spots.
Yeah. Well, that's in the Next Step video. My favorite thing about the Next Step is it's like a 5-minute video and then it plays again. Immediately like after.
Yeah.
Like it just plays, it loops itself. Like, I don't know how many times that would be. That's a little too nerdy for me.
Yeah.
But I would watch it like every day. Like when I was in high school, I would watch that. I also used to just practice flip tricks in my basement on the carpet. And like I just like practice flip tricks, and that's how I got good at them. It was flat ground flip tricks. What else? Yeah, that's kind of like my whole backstory, I guess. It's kind of a wild, wild backstory.
That's amazing.
That's like my whole snow skate career right there.
Yeah, it took you a lot of different places, various companies, a lot of people, and led you to Portland. So you're still doing the Bearskin thing.
Yep.
And the Bearskin company led you to connecting with Brian Anderson, yeah, correct?
Yeah. So when Brian Anderson came out, all of my skate friends sent me that video, which is fine, and I appreciate it. But, like, everyone sent it to me that I knew. And I was hyped. Like, I was so hyped on it.
Right.
And right after that happened, I just, like, jokingly, my partner just was like, oh, we should send him some. And I was like, no. And then he just, like, reached out. And because his, because Brian's partner, or his husband, I think now, is a bear. So we sent them a bunch of underwear. Mm-hmm. And then Brian was like, hey, here's my phone number. Next time you guys are in New York, hit me up. We should
That's
go skate.
Awesome.
And I was just
so
like,
cool.
What? Oh my God. Like, yeah, the 10-year-old in me was like, oh my God, Brian Anderson.
That is so cool.
If you don't hit him up and you're in New York, I'll be very disappointed.
I'm going to have to. I totally could. It's so weird as, like, an adult and, like, meeting. Like, I met all of my – I became friends with several of my, like, snowboard idols working at High Cascade. Like, I just started – like, I was, like, hanging out with – and then at one point, like, a few years after I worked at camp, like, all of the staff was, like, the entire world of snowboarding. Like, it was, like, all these people that are the biggest deals ever were, like, homies of mine, you know. It's like those weird, I don't know, like these communities are so small. I mean, like, Alan and I ran into this girl from camp, like, that winter, like, in the middle of Montreal, in the middle of the woods in Montreal. We were at that handrail that, and I was doing some goofy trick, and Alan was, like, trying to do it, and then this all, they were doing some all girls snowboard video. And I remember they showed up, and it was like, oh my God, Sandra, like, what? Like, we didn't believe that it was each other, because it was such a weird, like, she lives in Colorado and I live in Montana, and then, like, to be in Montreal at that same moment.
That's bizarre.
In the woods is just so weird. The best part of that, though, was the filmer was like, wait, are these snow skaters hitting this rail? And we were like, yeah. And then Alan, like, I think he, like, front boarded it first try right in front of them, and the guy and the filmer was like, oh, if the snow skaters are hitting this, we can't film on this. And he left.
No way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh,
for real. Because they were like, you can't, because they were gonna, like, not do, like, the tricks that Alan and I were trying were, like, way gnarlier than what they were planning on doing. I think they were gonna, like, 50-50 it or something,
you know. Wow. Honestly, though, good call on the filmer, because, like, if there's that, yeah, I mean, the way snowboarding is going, like,
yeah, man. I mean, it sucked for them, but, you know, like, it was interesting. I was trying to layback it when I did it.
Oh, that would have been really cool.
Which is super gnarly, and then I like, ended up, classic Bjorn, I was doing most of it, and then I accidentally flipped over, and then I, like, nutted the vertical post.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Halfway through. Yeah, and I stopped trying it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think my big, like, I have all these, like, regrets that are really weird. Like, I'll just be, like, not able to sleep at night and just, like, I should have just given it one more try. Like, like, everything would be so different if I had landed that front board.
Yeah.
I hate that. I have so many tricks where we were at, like, spots, and I tried, like, so we had traveled. Alan got his trick, and I never got mine, or, like, mine wasn't as good and never got used in anything. It's, like, it's weird regrets, you know? Like, I mean, like, it's stupid. Like you can't go back. And, like,
but we still want to see some of that unused Bjorn footage. Okay. We want to see that come up somewhere.
There's, like, somewhere I have this lost tape of these couple of tricks that I did so long ago. Like, I hit this snowboard rail, this like, kind of famous snowboard rail in Montana, and I had filmed it on a tripod, and I got a concussion on it the year before, and then I landed it the next year. That footage, I have no idea where it is. Well, I, like, filmed over it or something. And there's, like, a couple of these, like, lines that are just, like, they're, like, lost forever that I did, and I, like, think back on them, and, like, I tried to redo them, but, like, I never got him.
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird thing to keep you up at night. That footage.
I think we'll all live with that. But man, it's been so great to have you. This has been super cool. First,
I feel like I talked too much.
No,
man. That's why we had you on the show, Bjorn. We want to hear what you have to say.
All right.
The whole way. It's like an understanding of like those eras of like history where like snow skating was like, like the X Games. That's all so fascinating to me. Anyway, anything you want to plug? I mean, obviously Bearskin.
Yeah, I can plug Bearskin underwear. It's awesome underwear. It's it'd be real good for snow skating. It's got a breathable mesh in between the legs, pretty tight. I'm going to try. Alan every year tries to get me back on the board. He did. Okay. Last story. Uh-huh. And then I'm done. I'm sorry. Okay. So I just had moved to Portland, and then Alan rolls up, and hits me up. He's like, yo, the Holy Bowly's happening. Now we should go or whatever. And so I was like, no, I hadn't snow skated in like five or six years since I had been on a board or on a snowboard or anything. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. It's too expensive. He calls a couple people, gets me a ticket. I was like, I don't have a board. He's like, I've got an extra. He backed me into this corner like, Bjorn, there's no reason. I was so scared. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I was so nervous. I was like, oh, I hope I can still do this. So we went bi-decking up at Mount Hood, and it was so fun. And I want to just plug this. I started doing yoga like 2 years ago. I can skate better than I've ever been able to skateboard in my whole life.
Really?
And I'm now 32. I'm going to be 33 next month. I swear, it's because I have this old injury where I tore my groin really, really bad, and it's never fully healed, and it always has bothered me. And like, it's made me like part of why I kind of stopped is because like, it's so painful to ride, even like to skate. Like, I can only skate, or I don't snowboard or ski anymore because it just hurts so much, or it did. And then my sister, who teaches yoga, like made me start doing yoga and just like doing these like hip opening exercises and stretching before actually riding.
Yeah.
Not just like having a beer.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. Is that something you do? I'm just trying to maintain like a solid amount of eye contact. Yeah, dude, like stretching, you don't have to like work out, but just like stretching before you ride, like just to even like a quick try to touch your toes.
Yeah, I'll plug that too.
And like doing these standing poses, like tree poses and stuff like that, my balance is so good now. Like, I can skate way better than I could. Like, now I go to the skate park and I do all the tricks that I know how to do, and it's frustrating because I'm like, well, I'm not going to try stuff that I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm at that level.
So yeah, too. Yoga. And so I went up to Mount Hood. We were riding. I was being really really cautious. I was like, everyone was doing tricks and hitting jumps and rails, and I was like, nope, I'm just gonna work on my riding. And then it clicked. Like, it was like I could sort of do it, but I was still a little struggling. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I just was like, oh, I remember how to snow skate completely. And then I kickflipped this hip, and it was so funny because it was like, I was behind a bunch of skiers and snowboarders, and you kind of like wait in line to hit the one jump. And each person like does their trick and like, like the skiers or whatever. And it was like a crazy landing in spring conditions. And I kickflipped it and caught it like super high and landed it. My confidence at that point, because I was more surprised than anybody else that I had just landed like a super high kickflip on a huge bi-deck. First try, all the skiers and snowboarders saw it. None of the other snow skaters saw it in the crew. And I was super hyped. And then everyone was like hitting this rail. And I was like, fuck it, I got this rail. I know how to do that. And like, I didn't know how to still snow skate real good. But it was this up flat rail, and I like just decided to board slide it a little too early, and I leaned forward, caught my front edge, and just totally like side checked the rail, got the wind knocked out of me. I broke a rib and my kneecap.
Oof.
And I hadn't snow skated in 5 years. Oh my gosh. The first time I step on the board, I just like completely destroy myself.
Oh wow. My
gosh. But it was still really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. And that's bi-decking for you. Like,
yeah, like, that is bi-decking for you. It's like, just if you're going to bi-deck, just ride. Just ride. That's it.
It's fun. You can do a shove it.
Yeah.
That's why this is a single deck.
Yeah, this is a single deck
podcast.
Yeah, more of a single deckers world.
Yeah.
But
it would be great if they let those into resorts.
I guess they might start. That's what Alan was saying. Like, yeah, dude, we used to go up to ski areas and straight up ride the lifts at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in the early days, I know I got away with that too, because it's like they don't even know what they're looking at. And they're like, if it's on, I just had like a hockey skate, and I was like, that's my leash. And they're like, all right, there you go.
Wow.
That was Afton or something.
We would drill them and actually have a leash.
Yeah.
And like ride them down the lifts. Like I rode a single deck from the top of Hood one summer. But then they stopped letting single decks up there. After that, they're like, yeah, no, you can't do that. But I could, I was like making turns. Like, I'm fine, yeah. You know, as long as you can stop. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
It's not an approved sliding device, though,
no,
is it?
No, it is not. Is that a toboggan? Who are you?